The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning, too. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. A numbers game where sports betting lives. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Yeah? You've got that intro down pat now. That's solid.
Oh, because you had given me notes on it. And what you said was that I said where sports betting lives after your name made it sound like sports betting lives inside of your body.
That's right. I was trying to get t-shirts made of just Kelly Bidlin where sports betting lives.
I take notes very well. Thank you. Off to another flying start, everybody. It's Friday. That means football Friday.
Let's go.
Yes. Although we did a little flipperoo. Am I allowed to call it that? Technical term. Chris Felica, he has apparently another job that he does
at so
Fox
important.
Sports. Diva. Total diva. Anyway, we had to move him up. And then Paul Carr in his stead. So the last hour will be Paul Carr on the global football, followed by Fezzik and Dr. Bob. And Felica will join us this hour.
That's right.
Which is very kind of him.
A little football and football.
To squeeze us in.
Yes.
I like that. Jason Weingarten will also join us as well. So much to get to here right off the top, though. Our NFL bets as well on the show, of course, on a Football Friday as we head into week 5 of the National Football League. But let us begin with baseball yesterday and a dramatic deciding game 3. You love best of 3 series, don't you?
The only
wild card round that wild card series that went to a third and deciding game. And man, was this unbelievable. The Brewers, on the strength of 2 solo shots, take 2-0 lead late. And then it gets to the 9th. They got the 2 solo shots, I believe, in the 7th inning. And then the gets to the 9th and up with runners on 1st and 3rd steps the polar bear, Pete Alonso, and Oppo Jack. And the Mets add an insurance run and win it 4-2. The Mets, in the span of 4 days, hit a dramatic 9th inning home run in Atlanta to make the playoffs, to clinch a playoff berth when Francisco Lindor jacked a 2-run shot there in Atlanta on Monday against the Braves in the first game of the doubleheader. And then just, well, actually 3 days later in Milwaukee in the decider, they get it done with that Pete Alonso shot. And the Mets, the cardiac kids, are headed to take on the Phillies. Every one of the division series begins tomorrow, a quadruple header. I did add the Padres series to my Royals series bets. Those are my only 2 series bets thus far. And I don't think I'm going to jump in on the other 2 pre-flop here. What were you smiling at? What were you about to say?
No, just that game. It was nuts.
It
was nuts. Like the Brewers home runs back to back first. Like, I mean, we were joking a little bit about it on the show yesterday, but every Mets fan that I know, like you're trying to hold back text messages, but you're like, this is Brewers out of nowhere. 2 guys I don't even know, just like back to back home runs.
I was living it through parlay. Mean Bowers and Frelick
It was really nice in Milwaukee to pull 2 guys out of the stands and let them participate in the game. That was really nice. And I thought that's how the Mets were going to go down. And then Alonso gets up there and Gil, please answer me something. Okay.
Yes.
That ball leaves his bat.
Knew it instantly.
How did Pete Alonso know it instantly? Because when I'm like, I don't know if that's going to get out.
I think everybody who watches a lot of baseball, knowing his power and the way that it came off his bat, I think everybody kind of knew it was gone.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the only one thinking that today, but I was like, he made it over by like 5 feet.
I just want to say this because we'll move on to football here, and I have a tennis play as well. How is it? And I know I'm not the first to say that, but how can you not be romantic about baseball?
No, it's awesome.
Again, football is my first love. It's the one I loved innately.
It's almost like that line's from a movie.
Is it from a movie? It might be. It is probably from a movie.
Yeah.
As Bob Costas, I said this with Crack yesterday. Bob Costas says, you know, football's a one-night stand. Baseball's a romance. And I always sound corny when I talk about this, but I admit, like when San Francisco and the Giants were winning those 3 World Series at the beginning of last decade, there is nothing like going to play postseason baseball, and then you walk through the city. I mean, it just makes the city, but it's incredible. So congratulations. I lived it through parlay yesterday. Was texting with Jeff Parles, a Mets fan. He is heading back to game 3 in Queens for game 3 of the Mets-Philly series. And Paul Carr, who will join us to talk soccer, is a Royals fan. He will be attending game 3 in Kansas City in the Kansas City Yankees series. So all of our people are going with their fanhood and going to these games. Now, That happened yesterday, as did football, the American version of football. And this was one of these things. I asked you that question yesterday. Okay, which are you going to watch? With Amazon, there is no seamless way to toggle back and forth if you only have one TV. So I headed to the sports book. I was like, let me just watch both of these. What did you end up having your eyes on more?
I got the two TVs set up, which, you know, before anybody wants to tweet at me, not a flex, because bring a woman into your place and then they're like, why do you have two TVs? Like, that's the it's not a flex. But I had the two going. I'm with you. That's what makes the apps difficult, though. You can't like get out of the app, get back in real quick. So I had them both going. But like I said on the show, my eyes just naturally gravitate towards football more. But I didn't miss it. I caught all the big moments of the baseball game. They were incredible. I'm with you. I would still take that baseball finish over what we got in the NFL.
All I got out of that is women come to your home. That's all I got out of that. Stop listening after that. It's a special numbers game investigation right before our eyes.
Yeah, it's like, all right, there's like three that have ever said that. Yeah.
Okay, you should have stopped. You should have stopped before that sentence. I could not have been more wrong about this Thursday night football game. I went to the well one too many times. I had been hitting the unders on these Thursday games. This almost went over in the first half and probably should have gone over in the first half. What a game. The Falcons beat the Buccaneers 36-30. Can we just go over the last sequence of this? Because this, I mean, it was just, I want to get your thoughts on some of this. The score at this point, well, let's go 6:42 left in the game. Atlanta has a 3rd and 6 at the Tampa Bay 36. It's 30-27 Buccaneers. 30-27 Buccaneers. 6:42 left in the game. 3rd and 6 for the Falcons at the Tampa Bay 36. Darnell Mooney just drops a would-be conversion from Kirk Cousins.
After he had a huge game, is having a huge season.
Having a great game. And then Younghae Koo gets his 54-yard field goal try blocked by Tavier Thomas. And it looks like Tampa Bay is in control, 3-point lead with the ball. And then they matriculate, do the Bucs. They get it to 1st and 10 at the Atlanta 32 with 2:55 to go. The Bucs are trying to seal the game. And then Bucky Irving gets stripped by Jesse Bates. And Kaden Ellis recovers to the Atlanta 25. So you're like, okay, wow, Atlanta from the dead. But then Atlanta, they go nowhere on first down with the run. Then Cousins gets sacked. They end up 4th and 15 at their own 20 with 1:52 left. All three of their timeouts. Let me ask you a question right here. Mm-hmm. They're down 3. 4th and 15, own 20, 1:52 left. Would you have punted there or would you have gone for it?
I would have punted probably. I was thinking about that. I don't think it's clear cut one way or the other.
I'm with you.
But
we didn't discuss this beforehand. I'm exactly with you.
I stay off Twitter. Was this a hot topic on Twitter? I would have punted.
It was a hot topic in our text because Wishnev adamantly was going after Raheem Morris saying, "Oh my God, the only play here is to punt." And my pushback on it was, I probably would have punted, but I don't think it was like the most egregious thing we've seen.
I also think I'd be stronger with my statement of they should have punted if I didn't see the rest of the game beforehand, right? Like, correct. The offenses were moving at will.
Correct. It was a trade-off between, okay, we've been crushing them all day. It is 4th and 15, though, right? Mm-hmm. It's the 15 yards that makes it dicey. But it's a trade between we get to go for it, so we have a shot. We give ourselves a shot at a conversion, but then we'll probably have to get a touchdown if we're fortunate enough to get the stop versus we'll probably have to get a field goal.
Right.
So that's the calculus right there. Anyway, they go for it. Cousins is picked by Lavonte David, and that feels like ball game again, right? Tampa Bay is going to win this now. It's over. Tampa Bay gets the ball with 1:44 left again, up 3, this time at the Atlanta 28. And then the refs on 2nd down miss a face mask, a clear mask on the Falcons, but they catch a holding penalty in the same time on the Bucs. Mm-hmm. So that's brutal for the Buccaneers. I know there's a lot of people who had the Falcons were like, oh, we should have won it. There's a lot of things that happen in this game. A lot of things happen. So that pushes the Bucs back. 2nd and long, by the way, Evans is open downfield. Baker doesn't see him, or he just wants to be conservative. Either way, eventually results in a punt, of all things. So Atlanta gets a reprieve. They take over at their own 20 with 1:14 left and no timeouts. And 5 plays in with 12 seconds left at the Tampa Bay 43, no timeouts left. Cousins to London for 14, which seemed like it was a little too long, but they get the spike in with 1 second left at the Tampa Bay 28. What execution by the Falcons and Kirk Cousins and all those players to get up there and just stop and snap that ball with 1 second left. Uh-oh, what's that face?
It's the play of the game.
It's the play of the game.
Spiking,
I agree.
Spiking the ball was the play of the game.
And it was not controversial. It was absolutely with a second left.
I've never seen it run that well.
And then, instead of a 47-yard field goal attempt, Atlanta, it's a delay of game. They don't even pay attention to the play clock. They're so, like, pumped about their spike.
Well, play of the game. They celebrated way too hard afterwards.
So now it's a 52-yard field goal. But Young Haeku, with, again, this is the underrated part about Young Haeku. He has the shortest windup.
Yes, yes.
It's like 2.5 steps or something. Bang, right through the middle. We're going to overtime, 30-30. Baker Mayfield calls tails. Tails fails, ladies and gentlemen. It's heads. Atlanta wins the toss. They matriculate. Fourth play, 1st and 10 of the Tampa Bay 45. Drake London is hurt on the previous play, so Kadarrell Hodge comes in. Cousins sneaks it in to Hodge just past Zion McCollum, who's trying to pick it. Hodge sprints to the house. Touchdown. Ball game. 36-30 Falcons. What a football game. And both of these teams won this game a couple times.
Yeah.
Each. Cousins, 42 of 58 for a Falcons franchise record, 509 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick on the night that Matt Ryan was celebrated in Atlanta. By the way, what's the equivalent of Matt Ryan getting celebrated? Like Philip Rivers getting celebrated in San Diego or Carson Palmer getting celebrated in Cincinnati?
Like Matt Ryan's bigger than that.
Slightly.
But slightly, yes.
Yeah. London, 12 for 154 and a touch. Mooney, 9 for 105 and 2 touchdowns. 550 total yards for the Atlanta Falcons.
It was great to see an offensive game, Gil, but oh boy, those defenses sucked.
Yeah, I couldn't have been more wrong about that one. I got a tennis play on the way and Paul Carr on the Premier League next on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. What did you say? There's Matt Ryan haters on Twitter.
Yeah.
Love that.
I mean, like, dude did get to a Super Bowl, right?
He did. But, like, didn't you, when you saw that they were doing a huge halftime thing for him, wasn't there a little part of you that's like, okay. I mean, he's one of the all-time very goods. That's what he is.
Yeah, I don't know. Not everybody can have a Peyton Manning and a Tom Brady.
No, that's true. They can't. But if you're not a fan of that team and you see that, there is a little part of you that's like, okay.
I can't lie to you. Yeah. Yes, of course I was watching that. There was a part of me thinking that, but.
While baseball and football was going on yesterday. And by the way, can we just put that Alonzo home run in context?
Yeah.
This is, I was shocked to see this. This is from, I believe it was from Optostats who did this. This is the first time in the history of baseball that any player has hit a go-ahead home run while trailing in the ninth inning or later of a winner-take-all postseason game. That's a lot of qualifiers there, right? A slight data mining, but that's an unbelievable thing because you think about all the great home runs in the history of baseball. Joe Carter for the Toronto Blue Jays to win the World Series, not a winner-take-all game. And I'm not even sure they were behind. It might have been tied. Bobby Thompson's shot heard round the world was actually the third game of a 3-game series, but it was considered an extension of the regular season. So Pete Alonso, in the history of the sport, the first player to hit a go-ahead home run while trailing in the ninth or later of a winner-take-all postseason game. That's amazing.
That's pretty nuts, especially since this was always the situation that we all laid out for ourselves as kids
children.
When we were in the batting cage or whatever, right?
It was, forget the batting cage, when you were by yourself.
Right, exactly.
Just pantomiming stuff, right? And you're like, 3-2 pitch, 2 away for the Orioles. Right, I was always in an Orioles uniform. Okay, and then the biggest news, but beyond football and baseball, I think we all can agree, Iga Swiatek, world number one, has parted with her coach of 3 years, Kelly, Tomas Wiktorowski, who those of us who are Iga fans and watches tennis knows him to be a staple there. Never saying a word, always stoic for 3 years. She won 4 of her 5 grand slams is it 3 or 4 or 4 or 5? I lose count. So many. Anyway, all but one of her slams with him, and so that's a big deal in tennis.
What's the hot goss? What happened?
J-Rod, who is our crack reporter on the subject, because he's a huge Iga stan, I believe the kids call it, he said that it is probably mutual, that Tomas wanted to just kind of go home after, you know, going on tour for this many years. And also that Iga had said at some point after 3 years, she will want a foreign coach to sort of step it up even further.
Well, she probably needs a coach that can help her out better on hard courts, right?
Don't even start with me. Don't even start. By the way, so at tennis, they're all at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport. I went 1-2 in tennis last night. They were all dogs. But the one was Carolina Muhova as a +170-ish dog. So if you're going to go 1-2, that's how you want to go. And you also want it because we have her at +750 to win Beijing.
Boom.
So that's huge now as she heads to the semifinals there. Chris Felica joins us, everybody. The Bear from Fox Sports and the Emperor of the Bear Bets podcast. Of course, you can see him on Big Noon Saturdays tomorrow on Fox for college football coverage. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. I'm just trying to figure out a way to get to Seattle on Sunday for Jim Zorn Day before they take on the Giants.
That's right. That's exactly right. Jim Zorn Day should be fun. Okay, before we get to college football, which is, of course, your bread and butter, let's go through some other stuff because you're betting other sports. First of all, you do have some soccer you wanted to share.
Yeah, I got a couple of matches today. Serie A's Napoli and Como. Como just recently promoted. Napoli had a terrible year last year after winning Serie A a couple of years ago. They seem to have gotten things right so far. So I like Napoli to win 2-0 in that one over Como. And then in Championship League in England, Leeds Sunderland under 2.5. Leeds has had some difficulty scoring goals tremendously lately, especially on the road against better competition. Sunderland right now atop the table. I think this will be a low-scoring, testy affair. So under 2.5, Leeds Sunderland.
I like a testy affair. What about the National Football
League? I figured I had to give a little soccer right now, being that I'm taking Paul Carr's spot.
You are. A little flip. A little
noted
flip
Liverpool job. Hater Paul Carr.
Does that mean we have to ask Paul about college football?
I like guest on guest.
Yes,
I like guest on guest crimes.
Does he like KU this week +3 against ASU?
Yeah, we'll ask him. We'll find out.
Yeah.
How about the NFL? What do you have in the NFL?
I like the Niners team total over 27.5. It's juiced a little bit higher, like 27.5, 28.5. But at 27.5, you pay a little bit more, but you get the 28, which is a positive for me. The way the Niners offense has been going this year, even without Christian McCaffrey and then losing George Kittle and losing Samuel and just having the guys that they've been missing, Juwan Jennings, all those guys stepping up. Purdy's been the mainstay there. We saw the Cardinals defense absolutely terrible last week, getting blown out by the Commanders. Week one against the Bills, they got exposed. You would think professionals, they'd want to be a little bit more buttoned up this week, but I think the way the Niners are playing right now, they got the short week coming up against Seattle next week, but I think the Niners put a big number on the board maybe early and then maybe pull back a little bit in the second half. So that's why I don't want to lay the 7.5 necessarily, but I think Niners team total over 27.5 is pretty strong.
Before you launch into all your college football plays, just give me some context on Alabama-Georgia. One of the great games in recent memory, one of the great games of all time. How do you, an expert in this, process it?
It was one of the better games to it turned into one of the better games in recent history. For
right.
Sure. I don't think anybody foresaw that coming in the first half. But my bigger picture takeaway from this is I think it's a great time to buy Georgia futures. I've seen them as long as 6.5 to 1. And Will mentioned that at some point on Saturday night, they got as long as like 9 to 1 to win the national championship. Because my grand takeaway is if you're Georgia, here's what it took for you to lose a game. You go on the road against a top five team. You get a Heisman level performance from Jalen Miller on the first half to take a 28-point lead. After you played the worst half of football you've played in years with a total clunker from your Heisman candidate quarterback, Carson Beck. You're down 28. You come back. You take the lead. And then it takes a miracle play by Ryan Williams and Jalen Miller to give them the lead back. And then, oh, by the way, Bama needs an interception in the end zone to hang on and win. That's what it took for Georgia to lose a game. So if I'm a Georgia fan or a Georgia backer, losing sucks in that game. You may not get to the SEC championship game potentially because of the tie breaks, the schedule, who knows, but they're going to be in the playoff. And I think Georgia +650 is probably my biggest takeaway for that game. I bought more Georgia after that game.
I like that takeaway. Ryan Williams, iconic in that touchdown.
17. Have you heard he's 17?
I have not. I think I've heard Mike Tomlin has not had a losing season less than I've heard that.
I've even heard it twice.
Yeah, and you're right about Carson Beck. Like, I mean, how many texts were being thrown around in the first half? Like, this guy's a first-round pick, and then he completely turned it around. It was awesome. All right, 2 minutes of mayhem. Vomit them all out for us, Chris.
All right, let's vomit. Let's clear the throat first before we can get them all out.
Clear my throat.
Perfect. There we go. I didn't want to do my Mark Borchardt there. I didn't want to really scare anybody. But I'll just rip through the picks. Ohio State minus 18 against Iowa. I get this number's come down, I think, from a 20 or so, just because the Buckeyes have the game at Austin next week, Big Ten game of the year. But Iowa, like, last three ranked teams they played, they haven't scored. And I think this Ohio State defense will figure out it. It's still the Iowa offense. That's primarily a running offense. Ohio State will get up. Iowa will not be equipped to come back. I laid the 18 with Ohio State. I laid 7 with Georgia Tech early in the week. It's 9.5 now. I still like it under 10. I would still play it. If you look at Duke, they're 5-0. They very easily could have lost at Northwestern in double overtime. A 5-point win against UConn. A miracle comeback last week against North Carolina. Eventually, things are going to go the other way. Tech was off last week against Louisville, where the box score really didn't do justice as to how close that game was. So I'd still lay anything under 10 with Georgia Tech against Duke. Minnesota plus 9. I don't like this spot at all for USC. Headed back east. You got Penn State at home next week. Lincoln Riley's teams have really struggled in the role of road favorite lately. I mean, I brought this up before the Michigan game. In 2021, he's been a road favorite 14 times, or a favorite away from home 14 times, 3-11 against the number. So, like, they have not performed well. The Gophers, I think, can do some things defensively to get pressure on Miller Moss. The offensive line isn't great. You run the ball. So I wouldn't surprise me at all to see Minnesota keep this close, row the boat, Sky Yuma. Indiana Northwestern under 42. They're mostly 41.5 out there, but 42s are available. It's going to be very windy tomorrow in Chicago. Like, that whip, that wind is going to whip in off of Lake Michigan. And if you've seen the image, I've been waiting for this all year. If you've seen the images of that stadium, it's basically a practice field with no protection from the wind. Indiana is a primarily pass-based offense. I think that's going to affect Curtis Rourke in that offense. I'm really curious to see what this goes, but I got to put my money where my mouth was. I said I've been waiting for this to be able to play an under all year, so I played under 42.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. Got to run. Appreciate it, Chris.
I'm sorry.
NFL bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more? I was going to stop after get down, just so your type of person wants to get down. But get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market, or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted. Introducing Sporttrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sporttrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. It's live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and Arizona. Coming to Virginia soon. Download Sporttrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin alongside, and we get tweets. At Beating the Book, always appreciated. There's a bunch of Matt Ryan feedback on here. Should I go?
I didn't think that was going to be the spark today. That was going to be the spark topic.
Let's see. Blue Hen Bill, the Ryan booing last night had to be 100% from the second half Super Bowl collapse orchestrated by Ryan. I send Ryan a Christmas card yearly as I put my whole bankroll on the Patriots in the second half, thinking my game bets were losers, even though they ended up winning. Johnny Ringo, breaking news starting October 11th, a numbers game. Oh, starting October 11th, pardon me. A numbers game presents Fired Up Fridays with Kelly Bidlin and half a bottle of Larceny bourbon.
Is that because I killed the other half on Thursday when we did the segment?
D-Gen Southern Gent. Whether Matt Ryan belongs in the category of all-time great or all-time very good was perhaps the most debated topic in Atlanta sports talk radio. Oh, wow. For the better part of a decade.
That's just a sad statement about Atlanta sports talk radio.
Logic 3227. Atlanta celebrating Ryan is like the Cowboys celebrating Romo. Rick Olier. Having two TVs isn't a flex, Kelly. What about your knowledge on falconry? Is that a big turn on to the ladies? Is that a big turn on to the ladies asking for a friend?
I don't think I've tried that one out yet.
He added, hashtag let's ride. Richard Palmer with a picture of those three. Let's see. James, the James Lloyd, asked my wife, could I build a sports bar in our room over the garage? She said, okay. Next day, a bar is built and five TVs are hanging. She's a unicorn. She watches the game with me.
That's a special lady right there.
And Samuel Ciara says, I hit Carolina Mahova plus 480, 2-1 sets exacta. Thank you, good sir. Wow.
Nice.
Good for you. You have some Matt Ryan stats just to make the Matt Ryan case?
I pulled up the just all-time leading passing yards list. You check in on these things like once every couple years, and there are some names on here that just shock you. Matt Ryan, just real quick, 7th all-time in the NFL in passing yards. Can I give you a quick quiz? Do you think you could name the leaders in pass all time in career passing yards in the NFL that are currently in the NFL?
Currently?
Yeah. Let's go top five. Let's see how many you could get. Sorry, I'm just springing this on you now.
Well, Aaron Rodgers got to be
Aaron Rodgers is number one of the current quarterbacks, yes.
I'm just trying to think of like who are veteran quarterbacks around the league. Mahomes is not, I'm guessing, or is he?
No, he's not.
Yeah, not. Probably not.
He Dak? Is 59th.
Is Dak up there?
Dak is ahead of Mahomes, which is a little surprising, but not top five.
Russell Wilson's got to be up there.
Russell Wilson is number four.
Number four all time or four active?
Four on the active.
On the active.
Yes.
So who am I missing? So
there are two between. There are two between Rodgers and Wilson.
Kirk Cousins?
No, he's right below Kirk Cousins. He's number five. I'm sorry, he's right below Russell Wilson.
Oh, Stafford, obviously.
Stafford is number two.
Yeah, Stafford is number two. And then three.
This one's
is
almost unfair.
Oh, it's unfair.
Your comeback player of the year.
Oh, Flacco. That is unfair.
That's unfair.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
By the way, 35th all time. You said this to me off air.
Yeah, 35th all time in passing yardage, Ryan Tannehill.
That's impossible to believe.
Impossible to believe, right?
Wow. Okay. Couple more tweets here. This is from I'll read this one. This is Steve Rodriguez. Awesome stuff again. This is about crack yesterday. Said awesome stuff again on the show talking about learning forever as a former high school football, baseball coach and teacher in Nevada. It sure hits home to me. One of my all-time famous quotes by John Wooden encapsulates this. Learn like you will live forever and live like you will die tomorrow. You guys are great and thank you for all the pro tips, not only about beating the book, but on life as well. Thank you, Steve. Crack and I have a great time on this. On the second hour on Thursday. So much fun. And this is a D-Lew, bottom 10% on OF. He says, a philosophical question. Can a Plinko ending be a bad beat since its Plinkoness means it's down to luck, not handicapping?
No, I texted a buddy in the third quarter. I said, the defense has been so bad, this is whoever has ball last. That's exactly what it was.
Complete Plinko. And then last thing, teasers and parlays. It can't be said enough, but the second hour on Thursdays for A&G, one of the best parts of the week. Gil, Bill, you guys always knock it out of the park. Thank you, teasers and parlays. Want to give our NFL plays for the week?
Yes, yeah, no? Let's do it. Let's roll it.
I ended up, remember on guessing lines, whenever I like too many, I'm always worried. I'm like, oh, no.
This is a rare week where Gil has more NFL bets in the hopper than I do.
I'm like, I like way too many of these. I like the Vikings in London. Vikings 2.5-point favorites. This is a Megapod pick as well. I just feel like they are a better football team than the New York Jets. I asked Zach Cohen yesterday on the show how his handicapping brain sort of interprets trips to London. Does it equal the playing field between teams? Do you not hold it into consideration? I don't. I don't think it really makes a difference. By the way, ATS numbers are pretty even between favorites and dogs. Vikings, 2.5-point favorites. I took the Vikings. I think they're a better football team. I don't think the Jets deserve this kind of respect at this point. I don't think I've seen anything that merits this at all from them.
Yeah, we're a little oppo here. I had the Jets tied into a teaser from with the Bucks last night. I hear what you're saying, though. I'm kind of banking on some regression from at some point from Minnesota and the Jets to look a little bit better. We didn't really get a chance to talk about it yesterday, though. I do think one of the few things that I still take some, take into account with these London games is because we heard it from Mike Pritchard on this show multiple times. We heard it from other past players. It is the getting over there early and acclimating.
Right.
That's something that I still kind of believe in, you know, even whether the numbers recently have shown that or not. I think one of the other ones about the game this week, you're going to hear a lot about, just be careful, is the weather supposed to be like real bad, like rain and wind. But, you know, it's the soccer stadiums. So you're not a full dome, but you're covered up until like the little field cutout up top, right?
It's like SoFi.
So you're kind of like, like SoFi. So you kind of don't really know how the wind's going to react in that.
Will there be crosswinds or?
Right. I have no idea. Or swirling winds? Like, I don't know.
Remember that debate I got with Lombardi on air? He was telling me about the direction the winds were going. Texans, pick them. I got them over the Bills. I know Bills fans. I thought this was a little disrespectful to the Texans that they're not getting any points here. Give me the Texans. I know now these next two are like Squareville. Everybody talking about how, the Commanders, this is an overreaction to the Commanders and that the Browns defense will be a step up. And I think they are a step up. I agree with that. But it's an incremental step up. And listen, I will say this about the Browns. That pick that Watson threw went right off Amari Cooper's chest. We talked about this on the Megapod yesterday with Cleve TA. That holding call was phantom on Cleveland when they should have had the go-ahead touchdown, and they missed an extra point.
So what was the fourth down conversion, too? Or, you know, what was it? Where Watson threw that perfect pass. Was that a couple weeks ago? McMillan drops it right off his chest?
So the perception of Cleveland could be a lot better than it is. But it's kind of tough to beat teams that you can't get off of field very often. And until we see someone do that, I'm going with the Commodores.
Yep.
-3 on that. And then here's the one that is the Squareville pick of the week. I just keep getting square on these. I'm taking the Packers on the road -3. I just think they're better.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm really high on the Packers. I think they are a really good football team. And I know Stafford can work his magic and do things. I'm prepared to lose it, but I'm going with my instincts on guessing lines, and those are my four. By the way, I have a fifth. I love the Saints plus the points on Monday night, but we'll talk about that, I guess, on Monday.
Yes. I thought I sent that one in.
Yeah.
Prepared or not.
Somehow I didn't make the screen.
Yeah, I didn't make the screen somehow. Yeah, that's right. So Texans,
just because Kansas City doesn't blow out anybody.
I'm waiting to see. I'm glad you brought that up. Anyways, I know six has popped at some point. I'm waiting to see if another one hits here before so I can jump on that six there. Other one I'm waiting for, Texans. We talked about on guessing lines. I like that side too. I'm waiting to see if a 1.5 pops and I can just tease that up. I think if you get that in a teaser position, I think that's an excellent spot. So agree with you on those. I am on the Commanders as well. I think this has been very interesting, especially listening to Drew and Andy on my way in this morning on their deep dive. I think it's a very good, you and I have these conversations off air a lot. I think this game is a great example of some of the real sharp guys we respect with their power ratings and stuff, like a Drew Dinsick, right? This is the kind of time in the season where we have, okay, the priors, how much are you pulling from your priors still, and how much have you needed to adjust from what you've seen 4 weeks in? And even Drew admitted that he's downgraded the Browns more than any team in the NFL, and he's upgraded the Commanders more than any team in the NFL, and he still can't get to this number.
We had this talk on the Megapod yesterday with Cleve, and my response was, I stick with my priors on some of these, like Baltimore over Buffalo on Sunday night, but on others, you have to adjust.
I think Drew and Andy brought this up, that the randomness of a rookie quarterback, I think that makes that a little bit, you have to account for that, right?
Yeah.
So Commanders, and then I played the Bears. Speaking of square sides, I feel like that's a square side. Panthers are going to come back to earth at some point.
So there's been nothing random about Jaden Daniels thus far.
Nah, he's been awesome.
Nothing rando at all. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten will join us. Fezzik still to come. Dr. Bob, it's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game, un juego de números, has a special offer. Right now, you can score 40% off our football season special when you use promo code ANG. Sign up now, get full Visa Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl, including daily best bets with the leaderboard showcasing the top pros and their impressive ROI. 19 hours of live programming featuring expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems, exclusive betting splits, it's all there. Save 40% off the football season special this week only when you sign up and use promo code ANG.
Like a numbers game.
Offer expires on Monday, so don't wait. Go to Visa.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Pitlin. It's a numbers game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. The show would be nothing without you. I mean, something without you, but it would be really diminished without you.
It'd be different, yes.
I don't want to say it would be nothing without you. You get what I'm saying. I always appreciate the feedback, for goodness sake. By the way, nice DJ Cool reference you had earlier. When you said, let me clear my throat. Mm-hmm. I was very proud
Thank
of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done. Ryan Hyatt Media. Oh, this is about crack yesterday, too. So the last segment of a numbers game with Bill Krakenberger was some of the most honest, raw radio you'll ever hear. Must listen. Great stuff, guys. I'll probably put out a clip on that today. Mm. This from this is Tony George. I know Tony George, T. George Sports. He says, this is the mecca. This is a lineup today is the mecca of sports betting, bar none. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that. This is from AK Parlay All Day. So I had asked a question because of the Plinko-ness to that game last night. I had asked a question on Twitter, which was the worst bad beat on the whole, you know, this in terms of the primetime games this week. Was it that, or was it that wacky ending to the Titans and Dolphins game? And so AK Parlay All Day decided to go off that choice. And he says Mahomes rushing yards prop versus Atlanta was the Mount Rushmore bad beat. To lose 13 yards rush on three consecutive plays was painful to watch. Had tickets on both, by the way. Mahomes, of course, has done this before. Did it in the Super Bowl. Jason H11, another great megapod, by the way. Todd Wishnev, almost insufferable when he's leading in the picks. But we wouldn't want it any other way. Yinzer is leading, and man, is he milking
it. That's great.
I've led for 2 years, and I haven't even, like, a fraction of the schmack talking that kid's doing. He's up for 4 weeks.
Man, step it up.
Big Stoneheart. That was awesome. Quote, the only thing I got out of that was you bring women home, unquote. There is no end to the amusement that Calais Baidlan gives me. None. Edward Lefevre. Gil, I have Paola 25 to win Beijing. Vamos. When I was talking about our Mohova picks, I neglected to mention that I have, in the same way that we had Mohova, I gave this out the day before, I am on Paola Badosa as well. I gave it out at VSiN.com/picks last night. Paola Badosa taking on Coco Gauff, and I'm on Badosa tonight, -104 against the American Corey Coco Gauff.
So a
tennis play as well.
You and Zach still actively fading Coco?
I don't know what Zach's doing, but Coco's improved a little bit this year from where she was. Not quite back at last year's level, but Badosa's just having a great
Badosa.
Oh, Badosa is right, if you know what I mean. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. What's happening, Jason?
Good morning. How's it going?
It's going very well. How great was that finish last night?
Which one, the Falcons or the Mets?
Well, I was referring to the Mets when I'm talking to you. How was that one?
I missed the ninth inning because my bet yesterday was only an F5 bet. So I turned it off. I had to get in the car and drive across town, so I missed it. I can't believe it, actually. I'm 0-2 in missing dramatic finishes this week in baseball.
What? Which was the other one, the Lindor homer?
Yeah, I missed I missed the game one of the doubleheader. I was out walking my dog. So what a way to do that.
It seems like poor scheduling on your part. I'm not going to lie.
A little bit. I mean, I purposely went out and walked my dogs. I was like, this game's too stressful. I gotta go take a walk. But yesterday was a little bit of poor scheduling on my part.
All right. So here's the deal. We got the four division series all set up now. They all begin tomorrow. The two National League ones, right? The Phillies and the Mets, the Dodgers and the Padres. Those on paper are epic. I also love the matchups, not quite as epic maybe, but interesting in their own right in the American League, Guardians and Tigers, Yankees and Royals. Have you made any series bets? Let's start there.
Yeah, I made one. Guardians -130.
You think the magic carpet ride is over for the Tigers?
They just don't have the pitching. This is a 5-game series, not a best of three. And I mean, the Tigers have been playing great the last couple months, but there's only so much they're going to be able to get out of Tariq Skubal. And you saw the way they managed him in the wild card game. He threw like 88 pitches They're not going to throw him on short rest, most likely in a division series. And sooner or later, you're just drawing dead with your pitching. I think it happens to a lot of teams. And I like the rested Guardians here. I think it's a short price. I think it's going to be a good series. I think the little, probably not MLB's favorite, that there's at least going to be one AL Central team in the ALCS, but you know, that's baseball.
That's the way the cookie crumbles this year. I love the Guardians. Loved them in March, April. Loved them in May. I have World Series matchups with them. I have a World Series matchup with Detroit still alive too, but I have more with the Guardians. So I don't say this as a Guardians hater, but I do find that because your sentiment here about this, the Tigers magic carpet ride, my words, being over is pretty common. And I'm a little interested in that because I don't know. Skubal gets to pitch in two games. This, you know, no one ever accused the Guardians of having a great starting rotation, right? This feels to me like it's Skubal and a solid bullpen, obviously the biggest mix-match bullpen there is, obviously bullpen on steroids, versus a Guardians team that has a great bullpen. Obviously, I'll take the Guardians lineup over that of the Tigers. But I feel like the proclamations of the Tigers' death is a bit premature, I guess.
Well, I'm not saying that's their death. I'm just saying that, you know, Skubal's going to pitch 90 pitches maybe in game one, and then you're going to have to, you know, rely on the rest of that bullpen and the rest of that pitching staff to win you the games you need to win. And I'm just not confident that, you know, playoff baseball, the Tigers are going to be able to do that this week.
Did you play any game ones tomorrow?
Yeah, I bet the Dodgers. Yamamoto, if he's relatively healthy and he's been getting stretched out the last couple starts, I think -125 with Yamamoto and Ohtani in the lineup is a pretty good deal versus Dylan Cease for the Dodgers at home to start this series. Obviously, that's the series I'm most interested in. I have not fired a Kansas City bet against the Dodgers, against the Yankees yet. But around +180, I'm pretty interested in the Royals here. I think they're going to be competitive against the Yankees. You know, if you asked me which team I thought, the Royals or the Tigers, going to be more competitive, I'd probably say the Royals, honestly.
I took the Royals in the series price. Are you referring to the series price or a game one price?
Game one. I have not done a series price. I might. I'm actually working on an article for VSiN, you know, with futures and MVPs and all that kind of stuff for the postseason. So hopefully that's out today, maybe tomorrow at the latest.
Let's tap into that for a second, because I think it's always interesting how we try to get ahead and you try to get ahead of a possible MVP. Famously, you and I had Corey Seager MVP one regular season. He didn't get the MVP during the regular season, and then he mocked us terribly by winning it in both the championship series and the World Series. Who would you like to get ahead of here?
Well, you know, you're always going to have the problem with Ohtani being a favorite in a market like this. And obviously, you know, the top guys on each team, Francisco Lindor and Aaron Judge, you're not going to get a ton of value trying to find a number on them, even with eight teams left. So for me, I'm going a little deeper. I'm looking for guys that we know are going to be impact players. Obviously, I'm going to be a little bit of a homer and bet a Jackson Merrill MVP if Padres can advance a little farther. I have a couple, you know, more obscure names, bullpen arms, some random guys that I'll highlight in the article. But you're obviously, you know, you're looking for guys in the middle of the lineup that are going to get a lot of at bats and could change the game. So, you know, the formula doesn't change much. You're always looking for, you guys are going to get the most at bats, essentially.
And we're talking championship series or World Series or both here?
Both. More likely World Series for me. I haven't even thought about the championship series yet. So, and mostly I was thinking taking some of these World Series futures markets when they put them up.
Yeah, you know, I agree. It's an interesting thing to play too, because you want to get, obviously, none of us know if the team itself, the team of these players, are going to advance, but the object is obviously to get ahead of it. So it should correlate with your series handicaps and just get ahead of what will be a huge drop in price, right? if that player does get there. And so that's a great market to sort of play. We do this in the NFL playoffs as well. Mm-hmm. But in baseball, it's equally fascinating. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too. Have a great weekend, guys. Talk to you later.
Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back Football Friday. Football first with Paul Carr. Next, right here on A Numbers Game.